Grace, peace, and mercy be to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. God tells Isaiah, say to those who have an anxious heart, be strong, fear not. In anxious times, that's easier to say than to do. But it's a word that God speaks to remind us that He is the one who's in control. Today we need that reminder because there is much going on that has anxieties on the rise. Certainly over the past year and a half, COVID has played a big role in the rise of that anxiety. We've been told any number of things through that past year and a half. We've been told about vaccines. Many believe those vaccines are the only way we're going to bring COVID to its knees, stop that virus. But in Israel, the nation with the highest vaccination rate in the world, there's been a spike in infections among those who have been vaccinated. For the folks at opposite extremes, such information probably doesn't make a whole lot of difference in what they think or believe about vaccinations or anything else connected with COVID. But for the overwhelming number of folks in between those extremes, there's a lot of confusion. It's hard to know who to believe. And that's an anxiety producer. And COVID is just one issue. If you add to that conversations about the economy and the strength of the dollar, immigration, border issues, rising crime rates, evacuation from Afghanistan, that raises the question, what kind of world are we leaving to our children, to our grandchildren? The bottom line is there's plenty in our world today to be anxious about. In such an atmosphere, be strong, fear not, seems like good advice. Traditionally, Americans have prided themselves on standing strong in the face of turmoil, pulling themselves up by their bootstraps, on being the non-anxious presence in a crisis. I've seen that kind of behavior most often in families when a loved one has died. Some family members fall to pieces, but there's always at least one who believes they have to be strong for the rest, to be that non-anxious presence in the midst of that crisis. And that usually brings good benefits. When others can't think straight or do what needs to be done, they keep their heads. They do the hard work. They take care of business. But even they need to have someone say to them, be strong, fear not. And then tell them why. That's where we are today. There are many trying to convince us that they have the answer to all that ails us, to all that is creating anxiety. But who among those voices do we believe? In Israel's day, the choices would have been between Isaiah or the other prophets in Israel and Judah. Isaiah and those other prophets all said they spoke for God. But the other prophets stood in opposition to the word that Isaiah proclaimed. For us, while there seems to be a multitude of choices, there are really only two options. The choice is between those who speak the truth and those who don't. Those were also the options in Isaiah's day. And we could spend countless hours trying to determine who's telling the truth and how much of that truth is being told. We could read the newspapers or listen to the major news networks on TV or online. We could watch many videos posted on Facebook or YouTube. We could read all the research. And we should. We should do all of that. We shouldn't implicitly trust any of the sources of information, any of those sources speaking to the issues of the day. We should do the hard work to find the facts. But as you do that, know that there is a power at work to keep those waters murky, to keep a veil of darkness over what is true. And we are no match for his power. In spite of our diligence, in spite of our careful investigations, in spite of all that we could do to bring clarity to the conversations on the issues of the day, the waters will continue to be murky because the devil has more resources and a much greater sphere of influence than we ever will. So do we give up? Faced with such a task, do we abandon the search for what's true and what's not? Well, the answer is no. We don't. We continue to search for the facts. We continue to work to peel back the layers of darkness that hide those facts, that conceal what is true. But as we do, we need to remember that all those activities won't remove the fear. Those activities won't give us the strength to stand and be a light in this dark world. We need to understand why God told Isaiah to say what he did. Why did God tell Isaiah to tell the people to be strong and don't fear? It wasn't tied to anything they were doing or could do or should do. That strength and lack of fear wasn't going to come by their efforts. That strength and lack of fear was tied to a promise. It was tied to the promise of God. Isaiah was to tell those with anxious hearts, "Be strong, fear not, because their God, the one true God, the King of all creation, was coming. He was coming with vengeance, with recompense. He was coming to set things right, to restore his creation, to shine his light into the devil's darkness and lift that veil that blots out hope and allows fear to reign." Isaiah was to tell the people, "Be strong, fear not." Because God was coming to save them from the darkness, from the devil's work to isolate, to separate, and destroy. That was God's promise. And it was the power of God at work through his word that sustained the saints in Isaiah's day and the saints of the many generations that followed through all their trials and troubles. In the midst of all their dark days, it was the promise of God that gave them strength, that enabled them to stand without fear. And it was the faithfulness of God that brought that promise to fulfillment in the person of Jesus Christ. The Old Testament people looked forward to the fulfillment of a promise that God spoke first to Adam and Eve, to Moses, to David, and now through Isaiah. We, as New Testament Christians, look back on the fulfillment of that promise. It was the faithfulness of God that brought that promise to fulfillment in the person of Jesus Christ. The Son of God, God Himself, stepped into this dark world to once again shine His light of life and salvation. He came to save us from the prison of sin and death, to take us out of the devil's darkness and bring us into His marvelous light. He did indeed come with vengeance and with recompense. His enemies were overthrown. They received their due. The darkness was lifted and His salvation was brought to light. All of that was evident in Jesus' earthly ministry. The power of the Word made flesh was clearly seen in His many miraculous works. It was clearly heard in His teaching. The authority of the truth was clearly on display as time and again He uncovered the lies of the devil. And Jesus' saving work came to its completion as He hung on the cross, dying the death that sinful man that we deserved. He paid sin its wage. He suffered the curse that God's law demanded of Adam and all his descendants. Jesus was cut off. He was forsaken. He was condemned. God's justice was satisfied. His vengeance was made complete. And then Jesus rose from the dead. Sin, death, and the devil couldn't hold Him in the tomb. That's the power of the promise. That's the power of God's Word. No matter how dark and distressing the days might be, that darkness is no match for the light of God, who is Jesus Christ. And He comes to us. He comes to us in His Word. He comes to us in His Word that is a light to our feet and a lamp for our path. He comes to us in His Word to open our eyes to see His life and salvation, to see His gifts of grace, His mercy at work. He comes to us in His Word to show us that He is the source of hope and comfort in dark times and places. He comes to us in His Word joined to the waters of baptism. He comes to us in the power of His Word to raise us from death and sin to life in Him. He comes to us through His Word joined to the waters of baptism to unite us together with Himself in His death and life, in His victory over sin and death. He comes to claim us as His own, to save us from that prison of sin and death. He comes to us in His Word joined to the bread and wine. He comes to invite us to His table, to meet us there, to touch us, to give us His gifts. He comes to assure us that we are indeed forgiven, that we have a home and a place at His table. He comes to assure us that our future is secure and that there is nothing in all of creation that can separate us now from the love of Christ, the love of God that is ours in Christ. So God's word to us today is, fear not those who can destroy only the body. United together with Christ, they can't touch the life that is ours in Him. They can't rob us of that life because it is ours in Christ and in union with Him. So God's word to us today, be strong and fear not. He tells us that because He has come and His gifts are in His hand. He tells us, be strong, fear not, because the darkness has been lifted. United together with Christ, we can now sing with joy because we are bound together with Him, bound together with Jesus, who is the light of the world and the hope for all who trust in Him. Be strong. Fear not. Your God comes. He who knows you by name takes you in His arms to assure you, you are His and your future is in His hands. Amen. And now may the peace that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus this day and forevermore. Amen.